The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Parag Gimel, he says that Mishan Esfaro Libro, the Kain Mitzvah Zo, Karot Lila. The Lios Muchta V'Kisra Shel Torah. A person who's become elevated to a degree that he wants to be Mekai Mitzvah Zo Karoyla and to be crowned with a Keser Torah, then the Rambam goes on and gives this beautiful description of a person who has one goal in life, one focus. Doesn't mean that he neglects things that need to be attended to. But lo yasir daitel zvarim acherim, he's not distracted. He's not looking for wealth, he's not looking for prestige, he does attend to what he needs to attend in terms of panosa, in terms of health, but he's not interested in the extras. Kachu darka shel Torah pasba melatocha v'la'oretz tishan v'chayetzar tichya v'torah tia omel. Maybe let's perhaps comment on two elements of this description of the Rambam. The first one, when the Rambam writes, Mishan Esfar Libo L'Kayim Mitzvah Zo Karot Uilah. What's added with the word law? What would have been if the Rambam would have simply written that Mishan Esfar Libo What did the Rambam add? What extra is conveyed by Karot Lilah? What if the Rambam would have said that Mishan Esfar Libo L'Kayim Mitzvah Zo Karot Lilah? I'm not sure if we would have noticed that the word law was missing. So the answer of Rasai is this. If the Rambam would have said Mishan Esfar Libo L'Kayim Mitzvah Zo Karot Lilah without the word law, so we would have said correctly, that Torah is voluminous. Torah is vast. And because of that, the task of really being muhtar bekesa Torah is such that it requires tremendous effort, exertion, discipline, etc. And that would have been correct. And it is correct. But the Rambam says that's not the only reason why a person should be most nefesh for Torah. It's not only because Torah is voluminous and vast and the task requires it. It's also because, karot lilah, that the Torah is deserving of such devotion and dedication. Moshe l'mahadav adomen. Let's say you have an adult child with an elderly parent who, Rahman al-Islam, is not well. And because of the parent's health problems, the mitzvah of Kibbut Avaim requires a lot from the child. But it's true that simply the task at hand requires devotion and dedication, but it's also true that it's not only because of the task at hand that the child should be minutes, my stopwatch is going to be delivered. Gradually, but try not to be distracted. one would also say, and it's true, that in that scenario we were describing, so the devotion and dedication is not only warranted because the task at hand requires it, to coordinate, to arrange, to give the care that's needed requires devotion and dedication, but it's more than that. It's not only that, it is that, but it's more than that as well. It's that the parent deserves that devotion and dedication. That's what the Rambam says, Mishan Hasal L'Kayim Mitzvah Zo Karoi La. It's not only Mishan Hasal Liva L'Kayim Mitzvah Zo Karoi. It's not only because the task of learning Torah, because Torah is so vast, so voluminous, that it requires Mesiris Nefesh. No, it's not only Mitzad the task that the Mesiris Nefesh is warranted. It's Mitzad the Torah. The Torah is deserving of that approach, of that attitude. Let's maybe try to note something else in this halacha. Again, to reread. Kachu daka shel Torah. Pas b'melech tochal, v'alo oretz tishon, v'chayi tzar tichya, u'batora tihye omel, v'lo alecha hamlocha ligmo, v'lo ato ben choron libatel. So until this point, well, I think we would say, correctly, that the Rambam is giving us this, again, description, this profile of a person who's devoted to Torah with the purest of motives. That single-minded focus, that dedication, that Mesiris Nefesh, clearly something which comes from the purest of motivations and the purest of desires. But then, how does the Rambam conclude this halacha? How does the Rambam conclude the halacha? Aval im hirbeisa Torah, hirbeisa schar, the haschar v'fi hatzar. Why does the Rambam end this beautiful, beautiful, moving, inspiring description by saying, and don't worry, you're racking up the schar, and yeah, you're talking being Mosa Nefesh, but haschar v'fi hatzar. No, it's discordant. It doesn't fit with everything else that the Rambam was describing. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos from Sara Agra. That schar is commensurate to the effort a person needed to expend. So I think when we sort of, if we learn this mission on our own without looking into Mefarshim, so we assume that Mishnah is true for all mitzvahs. But when you look in the Rambam, that's not what it says in the Rambam's Parashat Mishnayos. The Rambam interprets that statement in the Mishnah is talking about Talmud Torah. And it flows very well. Right before that in the Mishnah came Hafachba, the Kulaba, which was talking about Torah. So contextually, the Rambam's pshat is very compelling. But what does that mean? Let's say I live a mile away from shul, and I walk to shul. I don't have a car. I walk to shul every morning to get the minyan. And one day is a beautiful spring day, and another day is a torrential downpour or a blizzard. But there isn't added schar because of what the person had to endure when there's a torrential downpour or a blizzard. Of course there is. So what does the Rambam mean that the Mishnah of Samsara Agra is only talking about Talmud Torah? So look at it as follows. In that scenario, of, again, one day, person walks the shul, beautiful, beautiful sunny day, it's a pleasure to walk. The other day, he walks the shul, it's a torrential downpour. Certainly the case, he gets extra sun. He gets extra sun tefillah? Well, no, maybe there's a different account. There's one account in Shemayim for Sechar Tefillah. There's another account in Shemayim for Sechar Matzah. There's another account in Shemayim for Sechar Lulav. There's another account in Shemayim for each of the mitzvah. And then there's another account in Shemayim for Tircha Shel Mitzvah. So that extra Sechar which the person gets for walking to Shul in a torrential downpour, that's Sechar Tefillah? Well, that's a generic car of Tircha Shel Mitzvah. What do you say, Alyssa? This is Tircha. He's not davening. He's not engaged in Tefillah. He's not davening. He's not engaged in Tefillah. By Talmud Torah, the car that a person gets for enduring. Again, this just everything the Rambam is talking about, therefore, but we're trying to understand, it doesn't mean a person ever pushes himself too hard. There's such a thing as a person pushing himself too hard, which is A, shalom kedin, B, not healthy, and C, boomerangs in a very short amount of time. So it's all talking about when a person is pushing himself within healthy boundaries, not beyond those, not those healthy boundaries. When it comes to Talmud Torah, the schar for the tzar, the schar for the Mesiras Nefesh, is schar Talmud Torah. And that's what the Rambam is telling us. When he says pshat in the Mishnah Olos that the Fum Tzara Agra is talking exclusively about Talmud Torah, that it's not talking about other mitzvahs, that's what he means. He doesn't mean that there isn't schar for tzar for other mitzvahs. But the schar for the tzar and other mitzvahs in Eastern Europe, it was next to impossible to get an esrog. It was next to impossible to get dalet minim. It was tremendous effort and exertion in the serious nefesh and tzar involved in getting dalet minim. The schar for that wasn't the schar of mitzvahs lulav. It was the schar of tircha shel mitzvah. Of tzar mitzvah. The tzar for the tzar of Talmud Torah is tzar Talmud Torah. Why should that be? How do we understand that this thing? And that's the pshat in what the Rambam is telling us in Perish HaMishnayos and in others. That's what's unique to Talmud Torah. How do we understand that? So the pshat is that with regard to other mitzvahs, the tza'ar is incidental. From the vantage point of the mitzvah, the tza'ar is incidental or accidental. There's nothing about mitzvah's tefillah which requires that I walk the shul in the midst of a downpour. It may happen, it may just so happen that vayehi hayom, that when it's time to go to shul, one particular morning, it may be a very heavy rain, and in which case, there's sort of some external circumstance which gets superimposed upon one's going to shul to daven, but it's not built into the mitzvah. It's, again, from the vantage point of the mitzvah, it's something which is incidental, accidental, coincidental. The memela, it's not built into the mitzvah. The schar, therefore, isn't schar tefillah. It's the schar for enduring tzar shel mitzvah. When the Rambam says, kachu darko shel Torah, the Rambam is telling us, no, mesiras nefesh for Torah, that's built into the mitzvah. It's not something which is incidental or accidental. That's intrinsic to the process. It's intrinsic to the mitzvah. It's intrinsic to the mitzvah, and that's why the schar, the funsara agra, the schar which is commensurate, it's schar talmud Torah. It's not only the schar of schar shel mitzvah, it's the schar of talmud Torah. The Rambam is clearly in context. The tzar that he's talking about is foregoing physical, unnecessary physical comfort. Again, it doesn't mean foregoing anything which is required to be healthy and to function properly, but things which are unnecessary. By extension, the same yisod is true. There's another type of tzar which the Rambam isn't talking about. He's not illustrating, but the yisod is true for another type of tzar, which is also intrinsic, internal to Mitzvah Talmud Torah, which is the tzar of struggling to understand what we don't understand initially or easily. That's also a type of tzar. And that too, it's very, very important for a person to recognize that that's not accidental. It's also, it's part of the process of Talmud Torah. Part of the process of Talmud Torah is that initially a person doesn't understand. And it's true at every level a person's on. It's not just true for us because we're on a very elementary or a rudimentary level, and sometimes just the very vocabulary of the Gemara is confusing. And on its most basic level, the Shach Levitarya is hard to follow. It's not only on that level that there's this other type of tzar associated with Talmud Torah. The greatest Gaone Olam have the same tzar. Adrabba. That tzar is greater than the tzar we experience. When Reb Chaim had a kasha on the Gemara, so the difficulty that that engendered for Reb Chaim far, far surpasses the difficulty we have in making a leining on the Gemara. And the Yigiyah and Amola, that with all his indescribable genius and gaonis that he had, the Yigiyah and Amola that required to be able to understand what was difficult, what was incredible, was extraordinary, the Yigiyah and Amola that was required. So this dimension of tzar is also built into the mitzvah. It's very, very important to know that, because it's very natural. It's a natural human reaction when we encounter a problem, when we think that the problem is sort of unnecessary and is an intrusion, so the natural tendency is to get frustrated and to be resentful, maybe at a certain point even give up and be misyayish. But if one knows that no, the challenge, the fact that there are challenges, the fact that there are bumps, the fact that there are hurdles, so that all of that is integral to the process. It's not some kind of foreign intrusion. So then it changes what a person's mindset is in encountering it. It's part of the challenge. It's part of the process. It's not some kind of gratuitous complication which would then naturally just elicit the frustration on our part. In Perek Aleph of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam writes that Kol Ish Mi'Yisrael is Chai v'Talmud Torah, and then he says, regardless of the circumstances of a person's life, that Chai Chayiv lekvar lo zman bayom v'balayla. Shenema v'hagisa bayom v'balayla. That means that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only that over the course of a person's lifetime he should learn and realize his potential in learning. It's not only that a person should learn on a daily basis, but that he should have a kriyas ipun, that there should be a set time for learning Torah. Again, the kriyas ipun has to be made realistically. If your job is on the stock market, and you need to be at work at 9:30 when the opening bell rings, then your kriyas ipun is not going to be from 9 to 10 o'clock. You have to choose your kriyas ipun realistically. But the mitzvah of kriyas ipun is that there should be set time. There should be a set time in the day. There should be a set time at night, which is sacrosanct for learning. What's pshat? Why not? Let's say when you get an assignment. You get a set of chemistry problems to do for a chemistry class. So the professor doesn't dictate, and you must commit yourself. So you're going to work in this problem set from 7 to 8, or you're going to work from 8 to 9. No, you should know. You're mature adults. You should know. This is going to take you an hour to do. Make sure you find an hour to do this problem set. So the halacha doesn't do that. No, we have to have a clear sequence. So the truth is that on a very practical, pragmatic level, it's something which is incredibly wise and effective, because when a person doesn't have a set time, it's very easy for something to get shifted from I'll do it then, but then something else comes up, and things that don't have a set time, sometimes, maybe that's a little bit euphemistic, sometimes don't get done. So just practically, pragmatically, it's a very wise halacha. But it goes much deeper than that. I'll just try to give a mashal as a hakdama to a pshat that the Rav Zichron Livracha gave in this din of kriyas ipun. Let's say a person, likes to go to a certain coffee shop. He likes the coffee there, so he generally goes to the coffee shop. For what time does he go? Maybe he'll go 8 o'clock, maybe he'll go 8:30. He'll adjust. There's no reason he has to bedafka show up at the coffee shop at the same time every day. But there is one context, there is one circumstance in which the person is going to make a point to show up at the coffee shop at a specific time. And that is if he arranged the meeting. If he arranged to meet someone at the coffee shop at 8:30, so then on that day it's not going to be, well, maybe I'll go 8, maybe I'll go 8:30, maybe I'll go 9. No, someone's waiting for you. You have a meeting. You got to show up at 8:30. So under those conditions, so he's not going to have this flexibility as to when he goes. He's bedafka going to go at 8:30. Says the Rav so beautifully. The Torah wants to impress upon us that Talmud Torah is an appointment. Afilu Yochid is Yoshev Oseg V'Torah is Shechina Ima. But by our association with Kriyas Ipun is that it's an appointment with someone. And that's exactly what the Torah wants. We should have that association with Talmud Torah. When a person is going to learn Talmud Torah, it's also an encounter. It's also a rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Torah wants to impress upon us, because that should be our association with the idea of Kriyas Ipun. The idea of Kriyas Ipun is something we associate with an appointment, with a meeting. So Talmud Torah is a meeting, and that's what the halacha of Kriyas Ipun of Kriyas Yitim reflects and suggests that the Rambam writes in two places, maybe just one, maybe two more ideas, and then and then we'll stop. Rambam writes in both the Hagdamah to Perush HaMishnayos as well as in the Hagdamah to Perek Chelek, when he's listing the Yud Gimel Ikarim, that there's a special chiyuv tefillah associated with learning. He says that a person has to follow the example of David HaMelech, who davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gal einai, open my eyes, va'abita neflaos min tarasacha, so that I can glimpse, so I can see the wonders of your Torah. It's quite clear, the Rambam is illustrating, he says, let's say for instance in Chumash, there's some things in Chumash that we understand why it's in Chumash, we understand why it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in Chumash. We understand why it says Anochi Hashem Lekecha. There are other psukim in Chumash that we don't understand why they're worthy of being in Chumash. The Rambam says, Uvnei Chom, Kushu Mitzrayim, Fotufnan. If you would have asked us, is that worthy of being mentioned in Chumash, so we would have said no. We don't see anything important or consequential about that piece of information. And yet, the Rambam says, Paras Hashem Tumima, Kedosha, Tahora Emes, and every word, every letter, Sheba, every word, every letter, has Chochmos v'Niflos. Aye, but we're stymied by some parts of Chumash. The Rambam also gives the illustration of Hashem, Ishta Mehetavel Bas Matre Bas Mezar. Again, something which doesn't resonate with us. Says the Rambam, so what does a person do? So the Rambam says that a person has to daven, like a Baruch Hu, as the David HaMelech. Gal Einai V'Abita Nefos Mitarasacha. What that means is the following. There's a level of Siyata Deshmaya that everything in life requires. A person's life is not his own. A person's existence is not his own. And in that sense, everything requires Siyata Deshmaya. Everything is Im Yirtzeh Hashem. Everything is Be'ezus Hashem. A person can never ever say what he's going to do in the future without a Im Yirtzeh Hashem, without a Be'ezus Hashem. And if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, without a Bli Nedah. Everything is only if the Siyata Deshmaya, that I continue to live, that I continue to be in control of my faculties, and that I'm able to function. There's that basic level of Siyata Deshmaya for anything and everything. A person says what he's going to, in 5 minutes, he's going to move the chair from here to there, the Ezus Hashem is going to do it. He's not going to do it with Shalom, the Ezus Hashem. The Ezus Hashem is going to do it. Within that, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, and he created a world in which we're naturally, if he sustains us, if he chooses to sustain us, and he chooses to let us remain in control of our faculties, so he gave us abilities to do certain things. He gave us the ability to be able to pick up a chair and move it. Maybe some of us should use two hands, but whatever. But he did give us the ability to pick up the chair and to move it. There are certain chelkei Torah where a person naturally does not have the ability to understand. And there's an extra measure of Siyanta Deshmaya that's required. David HaMelech was pretty sharp. David HaMelech knew how to learn pretty well. And David HaMelech came up against Chalkei Torah that he didn't have the natural he wasn't naturally positioned to be able to understand. It's as if there's a blindfold when it comes to certain Chalkei HaTorah, whether it's such Psukim and Chumash that we mentioned, or the Rambam says sometimes we encounter it initially with passages of Agadata because they're written in figurative, non-literal, metaphoric language. And a person, naturally, it's as if a person has a blindfold. And it's only with the Siyata Deshmaya to lift that the blinders, to lift the blindfold, that the person can understand. And that's why Gal Einai, since there's an extra Siyata Deshmaya that's needed, there's a special Siyat Tefillah. That's why in Birkas HaTorah in the morning, there's a Bakasha. That's why when a person enters the Beis Medrash, there's Tefillah of Mechunya Ben Hakana. There's extra Siyata Deshmaya. Which is needed. And accordingly, there's a special Chiyuv Tefillah. How do we understand that? How do we understand that? What's pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of said, no, the certain parts of Torah that, no, you're going to have to apply, as it were, for that extra dose, that extra measure of Siyata Deshmaya to be able to understand. So maybe one maybe one way to understand it is as follows. Let's say you have a big company, a big company, and I don't know, they're hiring it's a massive office building, and they're hiring I don't know, they need the cleaning crew who comes at night to clean the offices. There's an opening. There must be 20, 30 people on the cleaning crew, so one of them left his position, so they're hiring to fill that position. So who does the interviewing? I don't know, maybe the head of human resources or whoever is the head of the cleaning crew, but it's clear that the CEO or the president of the company, he's not getting involved with that appointment. What if you're hiring someone who's going to work as the president's right-hand man? He's going to be with the president all the time. The president is going to be Yotif and Nichnas. He's going to have constant access to the president. So Mustafa, that appointment is not going to be delegated to the head of the cleaning crew, or even the head of human resources. Yeah, the president of the country himself, the company himself, is going to be very involved, if not exclusively so, in deciding who's deserving, who's not deserving. The schus of learning Torah to come into, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's inner sanctum, we should recognize that it's an incredible something that can propel a person to Avos Hashem. We should recognize So that's an incredible privilege. And as it were, to impress that upon us, the Rambam says, and so apply. And I personally, we apply in the form of tshuva, as David HaMelech did, Gal Einai Rabid and Zos Mitzad Asasa. And I personally, because the people to whom this chus is given are coming so close to me, so I personally am going to be involved in that vetting process. That kind of thing.